We had a look at Joel, Amos, Jonah, Hosea, Micah, and Nahum. And now Zephaniah is number 7. And then we'll do Habakkuk, and then Daniel, then Lamentations, Obadiah, then Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. So we're creeping up to switch from pre-exilic to post-exilic. Saying, what's exilic? Comes from the word exile, when Israel and Judah were taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar. So they often refer to the books as pre-exilic, in other words, prior to the captivity of Nebuchadnezzar, and post-exilic, which is after the captivity of Nebuchadnezzar. And of course, Daniel is post-exilic because it's the story of some of the Hebrew children that were taken captive, Daniel being one of them. So we're almost there. Habakkuk kind of bridges it, and then Daniel, we're into post-exilic, looking back rather than looking forward to the captivity. So here in Zephaniah is one of the final warnings of God that he is about to complete this punishment that he's been warning them of, where he's going to allow a Gentile king to come and take them away, carry them away, which, of course, did take place. Now, this, interestingly enough, this book was written by Hezekiah's great-great-grandson. Now, Hezekiah was one of the good kings of Judah. There weren't many. Most of the kings, as you know, were bad kings. But this is one of the good kings, and this is his great-great-grandson, who God then used to give this one of these final warnings to Judah that Jerusalem was about to be destroyed by Babylon and they were about to be taken captive. Interestingly enough, this first chapter, God combines this warning about the destruction of, or the invasion of Judah, with the warning about the tribulation period, because they're both judgment. One will be the very soon judgment of Nebuchadnezzar, and then, of course, one is the future judgment of the tribulation period, and he combines those into the same chapter. So it's, we have to try to keep up tonight with context. But we'll start there in verse 1 of Zephaniah. And, we'll learn some things. Amen. So the word of the Lord, which came unto Zephaniah, the son of Cushi, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hizkiah. So that Hizkiah is Hezekiah. In the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of the heaven and the fishes of the sea and the stumbling blocks with the wicked. And I will cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord. I will also stretch out mine hand upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place and the name of the Chemarims with the priests and them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops and them that worship and that swear by the Lord and that swear by Malcolm. And them that are turned back from the Lord, and those that have not sought the Lord nor inquired for him. Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice, he hath bid his guests. And it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. In the same day also will I punish all those that leap on the threshold, which fill their master's houses with violence and deceit. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that there shall be the noise of a cry from the fish gate and an howling from the second and great crashing from the hills. Howl, ye inhabitants of Maktesh, for all the merchant people are cut down, all they that bear silver are cut off. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. Therefore their goods shall become a booty, and their houses a desolation. They shall also build houses, but not inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards, but not drink in the wine thereof. The great day of the Lord is near, it is near, and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man, shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. A day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord. And their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. So the title tonight is The Great Day of the Lord is Near. Let's pray. Lord, I pray now that you would use your word to teach and speak to us. Thank you for the privilege of opening it together. And we commit the time to you. May you be glorified in it. In Christ's name we pray this. Amen. So you can see how the Lord is mixing the coming judgment with Nebuchadnezzar with the coming judgment of the tribulation period. Most of these prophecies, as you can see, carry over and cover both of these judgments. But let's walk through some of them and understand them. He says there in verse 3 that there will be eventually a consummation of man and beast. Of course, God teaches that at the end of the kingdom, he will burn up the earth with a great heat. But he's specifically talking to his children, and in verse 7, he says, hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord. Hold thy peace. In other words, stop arguing with, stop talking back to God, and acknowledge that God is sovereign. So let's look at some verses on this. Romans 3, 4. And this is a warning that all of us could take heed to. We never have a place to argue with God. We've been talking about this in Sunday school. God is sovereign. And God is God. And we're his creation. Romans 3, 4. But God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. God is always right, and we're wrong. Pretty simple, isn't it? If we just remember that. Romans 9:20 says, nay, but old man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? So we have no place. And he's saying to Israel, hold thy peace. Stop arguing with me. Stop talking back to me. Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord. And then he says there in verse 7, for the day of the Lord is at hand. This time of judgment is coming. And again, this is a double prophecy of the day of destruction that's going to come from Nebuchadnezzar, but also, ultimately, as we've seen, as we walk through Isaiah, walk through Jeremiah, and then Joel, we see this phrase, day of the Lord. Day of the Lord is referring to not a day, of course, but it's the time of judgment and on into the kingdom. It begins really with the rapture, and flows right on through the tribulation, the return of Jesus into the kingdom. That's all the day of the Lord. And it's at hand. It's always been at hand. Amen? It's always been that we are to watch for Jesus to come and take us out so that this day of the Lord can come. And for you and I, it's always been at hand. And this is an important understanding when it comes to the tribulation period. We're actually going to study this in Pathology next week. Is what's the purpose of the tribulation? Well, it's God's wrath poured out upon who? Israel. It's a Jewish time. We're not Jews. We're the church. Which is why the church has to be removed first before this judgment falls upon Israel. So what are we as God's children supposed to watch for? Are we to be watching for the Antichrist? Or would we be watching for the mark of the beast? No, we're to be watching for Jesus. And we're told that over and over again, that Jesus is coming soon, and we're to watch for him in the clouds and so forth. And we're to be warning people, Jesus is coming, and you need to be ready. That day of the Lord, don't let it come as a thief in the night, but be ready for it. How many times are we told that in the scriptures to be ready for Jesus' return and judgment? So down to verse 12, it says, "It shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil." What does that sound like the world today? Basically, God doesn't care. If there is a God, he just sits back and he won't do good and he won't do evil. He just basically started it all and he's going to sit back and just let it run its course, and he's not really involved. We know, of course, from Scripture that that is absolutely not the case. That God is involved, God is sovereign. So let's look at some scriptures on this. Malachi 3:14. Malachi being a book filled with these non-biblical sayings of the Jews. And one of them is a similar statement about God not caring, essentially. Notice Malachi 3, verse 14. "Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we've walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts?" These are the backslidden Jews saying, why have we been wasting our time caring about what God thinks? And isn't this what the world is saying today? God doesn't care. If there is a God, he just doesn't care. And then go to 2 Peter 3 and we'll see it again, which is more in line with our time. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. God prophesied that this is exactly what people would say. Notice it says, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days," well, we're in those last days, "scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming?" Well, it's been 2,000 years. So people are saying this. Where's Jesus? He was supposed to come back. Why hasn't he come back? "For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." 2,000 years to God is nothing. But then this great warning in verse 14 of our passage, Zephaniah 1, "The great day of the Lord is near." It is near. And then in verse 15, from what I can tell, this verse 15 of Zephaniah 1 gives the longest list of words that describe the nature of the tribulation more than any other verse in the Bible. So if you ever want to know, what's the tribulation all about? What's the purpose of the tribulation? Just go to Zephaniah 1:15 and look at these 9 words, and that will tell you what the tribulation is all about. So let's look at the words and see if it's something that God planned for the church. Wrath, trouble, distress, wastiness, desolation, darkness, gloominess, clouds, and thick darkness. And that one verse says it all, doesn't it? It's a time of wrath. It's a time of God's anger poured out upon the earth and poured out upon his people Israel. And it's not a time for you and me. God says that we were not appointed under wrath in 1 Thessalonians 5:9, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So this day of the Lord, this is a double prophecy. Nebuchadnezzar is going to come soon and take Jerusalem, but also the day of the Lord, the official day of the Lord, is coming as well, still in the future, when God will pour out his wrath and all of these other words upon Israel. And by the way, you can't buy your way out of it. God finishes by saying there in verse 18, "Their silver or their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath." Again, it's a time of wrath. And it doesn't matter how much money you have. You better have Jesus. Amen? Because money's not going to help you. Because this time is a time of wrath. So let's look at some scriptures on this. Jeremiah 46:10. And just be reminded tonight, I know we went through Jeremiah already, but just be reminded what this day of the Lord that God says is at hand, this great day of the Lord that's near. Let's see what he says about it. Jeremiah 46:10. "For this is the day of the Lord God of hosts. a day of what? Vengeance. That he may avenge him of his adversaries, and the sword shall devour, and it shall be satiate and made drunk with their blood. We'll read Revelation 6 through 18 and look how many people die in the tribulation period. And then go to Joel chapter 1, verse 15, Daniel, Hosea, Joel chapter 1, verse 15. Notice it says, "Alas for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come." So there in Jeremiah, we see the word vengeance. Here in Joel chapter 1, we see the word destruction. Now look at Joel chapter 2, verse 11. It says, "And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can abide it?" So just these few verses tell us a lot about the purpose of this time of judgment, primarily the tribulation, the day of the Lord's wrath. We've got wrath, trouble, distress, wasteness, desolation, darkness, gloominess, clouds, thick darkness, vengeance, destruction, and terrible. It's quite a list, isn't it? And that's just a sampling. And it shows us why the church isn't going to be there. We've already been delivered from wrath through the cross. Hallelujah. So we won't face this wrath. First of all, we aren't Israel. And second of all, we've been delivered already. God hath not appointed us to wrath. And it's a time of wrath. So Nebuchadnezzar's invasion is very close, as we'll see as we walk from Zephaniah into Habakkuk. And God's judgment is coming on Israel through that, and also then through the tribulation. And what does it mean for you and me? Well, the good news is we don't have to experience it, but many will. And we have the solution. Amen? It's called the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have the answer to this time of wrath. How can it be avoided? You must trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And it's that basic, isn't it? People need to be warned. They need to be told. Just like he kept saying to Israel, it's coming, it's coming. We need to tell the world, it's coming. The time of God's wrath is coming. God's judgment is coming. Are you ready? Are you ready? Trust Jesus Christ and you'll be ready. Amen? So the day of the Lord, the great day of the Lord, is very near. You and I, we can look at the many scriptures that we looked at recently in Sunday school on the last days, and we can see Jesus is coming soon. Maybe tomorrow. Won't that be great? Even so, come Lord Jesus. Until then, let's warn them like God's prophets did. It's coming. So are you ready? I hope so, because the great day of the Lord is near. Let's pray. Lord,